Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
Happy 4th of July, everyone. This is the Sunday edition of the LA Report. I'm Leslie Beristein-Rojas, Emerging Communities Editor, KPCC, and LAist.com. So as some of you may know, LAist has been featuring a crowdsourced series this past year called Race in LA. It's a simple premise. Members of our audience were invited to write personal essays about how their race or ethnicity shapes their daily lives. Along the way, we've recorded some of these essays, and now we get to hear them here on the LA Report. And so, since this is the day that we celebrate all things American and just being American, well, what happens when you are American and yet you keep getting the message from people that you're not seen as American enough? Well, this is the message that LA artist Tracy Park began hearing loudly at the start of the pandemic, when anti-Asian hate began to spike here in LA and around the country. So Tracy decided to write an open letter to all the haters out there. Her essay is called Dear Racist.
Most people of color in America recall their first encounter with a racist. I'm not sure my daughters will, seeing as one of them was still too young in late February of 2020 to consume solids. But I will remember it for them. Playing in our local pocket park.
Ah, no, not on mommy.
No.
The usual chaos of preparing kids to leave.
Bo?
And then the parting shot by a young man hanging out with a couple friends by the park entrance that made me turn my head, wondering if I'd heard him correctly. Had he really just ordered me to get my coronavirus babies out of the park? While my daughters blissfully ignored the exchange, I stood just outside the park gate, seething and doing a sloppy risk analysis in my head about whether or not to confront the man. When you're with your children, fear for their safety nearly always wins over the need for righteous retribution. We left, but I couldn't let it go. I hadn't had any snappy comebacks ready on the spot, so, as only a true reenact and rant at the mirror an hour later person would, I wrote every mean and clever remark I wished I could have said to that man in a letter. I continued adding to it with each new anti-Asian incident I heard about in the news, or from other Asian American friends. Then, my Korean immigrant mother was harassed on her usual Northridge neighborhood walk by a man setting out his trash bins. He told her she had better watch her back and continued to call after her as she power walked on. By that time, I was seeing red. I was furious that my family, my friends, and my fellow Asian American community members were frightened to leave home even just for necessities. I despised feeling like the racists and xenophobes held a power over us, that their hatred and acts of intolerance would factor into our decision-making about going outside at all. And more than anything, I hated feeling afraid. Then I remembered that xenophobia involves a deep and primal fear of difference. Racism is born of the most primitive insecurity a person can feel. It is a fear so profound that the person experiencing it can no longer correctly identify it as fear. And as angry as I was, I could not help but regret the richness and connection all these terrified people will never know by their own choice. The letter I was rage writing began to change as I tried to understand that fear and how it must feel when you realize the world is evolving away from you. Although this letter is addressed to the racists out there, I share it now to bring strength and solace to anyone feeling powerless in the face of this resurgence of fear masked as hate. Trust me, you don't want to trade places with those who hate. Our fear is fleeting. Theirs is forever. Dear racist, congratulations. You've succeeded in upsetting me. You've made me tense during my one weekly outing to the grocery store by following me from the parking lot through three different aisles, giving me the stink eye. You've made me sputter in impotent rage, torn between wanting to confront you and fearful for my children, by telling me to get my coronavirus babies the hell out of our local pocket park. You've made me fearful for my mother by harassing her on her neighborhood walk, armed with only her mask and sun visor, threatening her to watch her back from the end of your driveway. You've made me indignant on behalf of my friends by rudely and dangerously coughing in their faces. You've made me sad by making them feel unsafe, depressed, and undeservedly guilty. You've made me furious yet again on behalf of our Black loved ones who risk illness if they don't wear masks and discrimination and death if they do. You've resurrected old lifelong shame by claiming that none of this would have happened if Asians didn't eat such nasty things in the first place. You mocked our packed lunches in school. You've accused us of eating diseased bats all year, and always, always, you've screamed at us to go back to China, regardless of where we're from and whether or not we've ever been. So, congratulations. You've made me afraid. But now, dear racist, I offer my condolences. I'm sorry that when you flip through the channels, there are less and less of you on TV. That sometimes you're even reduced to one-dimensional characters. The caricature, the token one. I know how you feel. I'm sorry that you wasted so much breath yelling at others to learn English instead of trying to learn more than just English. I regret all the opportunities, connections, career advancements, films, books, songs, and friends you missed out on by limiting yourself that way. I'm sorry for the friends and family you will cut off and lose when they inevitably befriend and become inextricably bound to people who don't look and talk like you. I'm sorry that you will become the embarrassing racist relative whom everyone unfollows or blocks on social media. I'm sorry that your children, as they mature and widen their circles beyond your narrow reach, will grow to be ashamed of you. I'm sorry that when you are faced with the unfamiliar, you can only shut down in terror instead of opening up in curiosity. You see, I won't be afraid to go out into the world for much longer, but you will always be. Xenophobia is, by definition, fear, and phobias cripple those affected. Dear racist, many of us are struggling with social distancing. I'm sorry you've been socially distancing your whole life. To be racist is to choose self-isolation. And in this new world in which we finally realize just how interconnected we all are, I'm sorry that you will still and always be alone. Sincerely, Tracy. P.S. I'm not that sorry.
Thanks for listening to this Sunday edition of the LA Report. You can find all of the Race in LA essays at LAist.com. Suzanne Whatley and Nick Roman will be back on Monday with the AM and PM weekday editions. Until then, stay safe and have a great 4th of July. I'm Leslie Berestein Rojas. The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.